Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in, thousands of winter arrivals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 70% on coats, slippers, and cashmere from Kate Spade, New York, Vince, UGG, Levi's, and more.
Check out these boots.
They've got the best gifts.
My holiday shopping hack? Join the Nordy Club.
Get an extra 5% off every Rack purchase with your Nordstrom credit card. Plus, buy it online and pick it up in-store the same day for free. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you Rack.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff.
Wait, do it!
With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
We are ready to roll. Week 7 in the National Football League. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. Booms. What's the good word, brother?
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good words and a lot of good things happening in the NFL. Think about this, Mike. None of the four AFC division leaders, that would be the Patriots, Steelers, Colts, and Chargers, won their division last season. This is the latest into a season that all four of these teams have led their division at the same time since the end of the 2007 regular season.
This is why the league's popularity has never been higher, because everyone has a chance. Well, almost everyone has a chance. Sorry, Jet fan. But the reality is, year to year, you can flip a roster. Things happen. Yes, and it's what keeps people coming back. So, yeah, and Boomer, look, I'm starting to wonder about the Bills a little bit. We'll get to that a little later. I do have a more targeted question. I do want to start out, though, and apparently I made an appearance on your show, but the NFL has a perception problem. And again, for people, before you freak out, perception is not reality sometimes. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs, the script writers, it happened again. Someone's lying. The first touchdown, Jared Goff, the mystery replay. If New York phoned it in, as Dan Campbell said, that's illegal. It's a full break of protocol, and it gives people like me everything they need with this whole Chiefs narrative. Craig Rolstad, the lead official, says no. This was a discussion on the field. This was a discussion between me and the officials. Bottom line, Boomer, a minute and 14 seconds of mystery on field. It felt like an eternity. Oh, also zero penalties on the Chiefs. Where do you stand on what went down Sunday night?
Yeah, I think it's a nuanced deal. And I remember running a similar play when I was playing, and all we had to do is make sure that we didn't put our hands underneath the center. Now, they may have changed the rules. They may have emphasized a particular rule about where the quarterback has to step back and then move away. And I'm not really sure about all of that. I saw the play in real time. I thought it was a great play. I thought it was a great call. And I thought it was a ballsy call because you did something to the Chiefs that the Chiefs usually do to the team they're playing against. And that's run a cool play like this. The NFL has came out and has clarified the rule as it was a penalty because of the way that Jared Goff went in motion and didn't reset himself. So that I guess is a rule, but in real time, the officials didn't know that rule. And in real time, Dan Campbell didn't teach that play with that rule in the back of his mind because he didn't know that rule. So when there is an official on the field telling Dan Campbell, yeah, New York buzzed us down to take a look at that play, then they are, I believe, now invoking themselves into a game, according to Dan Campbell, when they shouldn't be doing that. I'm all for expedited replay, by the way, which started about three years ago in the playoffs. I am, to get the ball's placement right, to get everything right, so we don't have to stop the game, we can keep the game going. But in this case, if Dan Campbell is telling the truth, which I believe he is, then there is a major malfunction with the NFL and expedited replay and the influence that the New York replay office can have on a game.
Yes, and again, because it's the Chiefs, because it's Sunday night, because it's a desperation spot, it's a terrible look. And you and I have sat here, and I know some of the listeners probably are like, oh, not this again. But the ref show is a problem in this league. And the fact that the Chiefs got called for zero penalties and got the assist on that play, that's the problem. It's a perception issue, and the league really better get it right. Because, Boomer, we sat here last year. Remember the Texans game with the Chiefs? You were apoplectic. Like, you sit there and you go, if this is any other team, they don't get that call. They don't get these moments. It's got to stop.
Well, it kind of feels like, I think, Jet fans and Dolphin fans and Bill fans will tell you that it kind of feels like the Patriots with Tom Brady and all the different roughing the passer calls that just showed up out of the blue, you know, the tuck rule, things of that nature. So we're kind of going down that path again. I don't think there's anything nefarious. I really don't. I'm not a conspiracy theorist in regards to the NFL. I believe that we all laid it on the line when we went on the field. And could there be a rogue referee here or there? Anything is possible, but I don't think that the NFL has script writers. I also will say this. You know, if you are going to stop and if New York did actually touch base with the officials after this play in order to get this play called correctly, if you're going to do it for this play, then you need to do it for the tush push.
Because
the tush push is wide open, and we can all see that, you know, the offensive linemen are pre-snap moving, and it should be a penalty every single time.
100%. All right, let's rapid fire some of these. Concern level for the Bills defense. It was built to beat the Chiefs. One problem. I'm not sure it's beating anyone else. They still can't stop the run. What's your concern with this rebuilt Bills defense?
I'll tell you what. I am really concerned about this. And think about the teams that they beat. The Baltimore Ravens in week one, where they came back. The Ravens let them back in the game. They beat the Jets. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the New Orleans Saints. And they lost to two winning teams, New England and Atlanta. That's the schedule that they've beaten. So I am worried about their defense. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Josh Allen to continue to create as much offense as he possibly can. This team has given up way too many points, and they're getting pushed around. That's the thing that I worry about. Their teams are running on them. And it all, I think, was exposed, you know, when they played New England. New England ran on them, and then all of a sudden, Bijan Robinson ran right through them. So that would concern me as their run defense. Now, I know Matt Milano's hurt again.
That's shocking.
That's a big problem for them and has been a big problem for them. So hopefully he can get back in the next few weeks. Hopefully that his injury isn't that bad. And when he gets back in there, he can actually solidify stuff.
I want to shout out the Road Warriors, and this was a great take by you last week. Seahawks do it again. Mike McDonald does not lose on the road. Here's my question. Should he at least deserve a modicum of consideration for Coach of the Year?
Yeah, 100%. You know, he's doing it with a new quarterback. I don't think anybody thought that they were going to be where they are right now. I don't think anybody took them seriously about possibly winning the NFC West, which they definitely can do. You know, he's a defensive coach, and his defense plays with a snarl that a defensive coach should have his defense playing with. And now he has his quarterback, and the quarterback's not turning over the ball. He's playing his best football, even better than at any point in time last year with the Vikings. And I think Sam Darnold has really found his footing. He's found his home. They're going to be tough to beat at home. But the good news for them is that they can go on the road and win a tough game in a tough environment against a team that most likely they'll be fighting for a playoff spot with. And, you know, quite frankly, this is going to be some finish in the NFC West. I know we got 11 games to go, but, man, I'll tell you what, these teams are going to go toe-to-toe each and every week, and it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, and again, Sam Darnold's doing it again. I can't believe it. No smarm here. This is not sarcasm. Are we on 0-17 watch with the New York Football Jets? Like, seriously. Negative 10 yards passing.
Yeah, I know. It was a terrible, terrible game on Sunday against the Broncos, and it was mismanaged and disorganized. And when you have a player like, you know, Garrett Wilson saying, I don't even know what we're doing, that is an indictment of the coaching staff for sure. I don't think 0-17. I think, this league is very close. These games are – they could have won the game last week if Aaron Glenn makes one decision, and that decision would have been to bench Justin Fields. They could have won the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Carolina Panthers this week if Justin Fields comes out and plays well. I know one thing. If he doesn't, the boos are going to be raining down, and it is going to be ugly.
At what point would you even consider them going winless? Week 10? 11?
Yeah, I think, you know, Dan Campbell started 0-11. I was going to ask you this.
Yeah.
Back when they started 0-11, when he was the coach of the Detroit Lions, you know, Aaron Glenn was his defensive coordinator. So he lived through that with Dan Campbell. And they actually went 4-19-1 in the first 24 games of Dan Campbell.
Yeah, he started
year
two, 1-6. Boom.
Right. Yeah,
if he had lost a few more games, he would have got clipped.
All right. That's what I was asking you. Like, what was the fan base reaction to him and them and when they were going through all of this?
Year one, you know, again, he was taking over a complete dumpster fire, worse than the Jets. Wasn't a big deal in year one. And Goff actually started playing good football in the second half of that year. Year two, it got squirrely. At 1-6, there were conversations of, okay, hey, here's the next three games. If he can't get a win here and you're staring 1-9 and, you know, 3-20 as a coach, what are we going to do? But he did win a couple of games. And they did finish the year. They got hot. And they did beat Aaron Rodgers to keep him out of the playoffs, etc. Look, I want it to work for Aaron Glenn. I respect him. I think he's a good man. I think he's a good football coach. But this isn't Detroit. And I don't know if New York's going to give him the time. And let's be real, we're not seeing improvement yet. There has to be something on the back end of this that is suggestive that he is beginning, his message is working. Boomer, I'm just fearful. It might. And again, it's in Europe and all those games stink. You're flying halfway across the world to play a football game, which is ridiculous for these players. I digress. No, Boomer, I'm very worried for him. I am.
All right, so here's my point. I mean, I've been trying to tell New York fans here each and every week, 4-19-1, 1-6, Dan Campbell, second year. Was he sparring with the media back then the way that Aaron Glenn seems to be sparring with the media here?
No, Aaron is way more combative. No, I can't explain that.
All right, was Dan Campbell like uber positive? Was he...
Yes.
Confident? Did he project like, I got this, I understand what's going on, I'm totally
positive.
In control.
He was positive. He was emotional. Okay. They had a heartbreaking loss to the Ravens and he cried. He cried at the podium. It was a different vibe. Aaron is more I don't know how to explain it. He's just outright combative. And look, man, that might work in certain places. I don't think that's working in New York.
All right, so, I mean, this is where we are right now. We are right where Dan Campbell was some four or 5 years ago, and Aaron's standing up there. He's confident. He may not be overly positive, and he's delivering a message like in a sparring, kind of manner, and necessarily know that the fan base or the local media like it.
No, we're going to get to some of the off-field stuff later in the show. I want to ask you this. Empty calories. What the hell is wrong with the Green Bay Packers? Tons of empty yards. They're basically between the 20s operation. And then the second half, their defense falls apart. Look at it every week. What's the problem here, Boomer?
You know, it's hard to put my finger on it. I would just say I'd like to see their offense be even more aggressive than it is. I mean, they have enough wide receivers and enough ability at the quarterback position with Jordan Love to be able to put up more points. Defense has got to get some more turnovers, that's for sure. You know, this is one of the things that every defense is predicated on. You get turnovers, give your offense a short field, you start blasting people and you start blowing them out. You know, the interesting thing is that they haven't really played their signature football game since week one. And, you know, they're still winning. They're still going to be a very competitive team. And I still think they have one of the best coaches, if not the most underrated coach in all of football, in Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, no, he's excellent. And I'm hoping they can get some momentum here so we get some drama in the North. I got to talk about it. You know I'm a slap for this guy. I'm a Drake May super fan. Boomer, last 2 weeks, man, that's pretty good stuff. And I know it's the Saints, but you respect it as a quarterback. Look at the caliber of throws the kid is making. I think he's arrived. I think we're here.
Yeah, and I think he's lucky that he has Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator. He's got Mike Vrabel as his head coach. So Bob Kraft did all the right things this offseason, yep, getting away from what they had prior and really settling this whole franchise down. They spent more money on offseason free agency than anybody else. There are a lot of guys that are playing great for them on defense that nobody even knows who they are, but they were free agents this offseason. The other thing I will say about this team, the wide receiving room is a little bit better than most people thought, and it's going to be interesting to see when the trade deadline gets here November 4th, are they going to add another running back or are they going to add another wide receiver? That, you know, because those types of players will be in play for the trade deadline, and hopefully the New England Patriots will try to bolster their team on offense to help Drake May even further. But there's no question he is the real deal. He's got the ability to run. He's making all the smart throws. And you could see the Josh McDaniels influence on him. So it's great for the Patriots. And they, I'm telling you, I thought that they would be a preseason, you know, wild card team, given that the Bills would be the team that would win this division. Now I think this is the team that is going to win this division simply because of the Bills defense that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, if Scones had done his third segment this week that we did last week, I may actually have gotten to Scone's side and said, you know what, maybe the Pats can win that division because the Bills' defense ain't right, and I was super impressed with Drake May. There's something there. Two quick notes. We'll kind of rapid fire it. A, you know, you brought up they did everything right. The Titans have done everything wrong. They fire Callahan. We knew it was coming. I think they did it to get out ahead of Vrabel embarrassing him this week. You know, there'd be a delicious irony there. Here's my question. Who the hell wants that job? Who's the fit for that level of dysfunction?
So the GM is Borgonzi. He came from, you know, Kansas City. So you got to look at the people that he's been around, people that he's worked with, people that he has seen, you know, work with Patrick Mahomes. So I think somewhere in there is probably a coach that he has a relationship with that he thinks would be a good fit there. I'm not sure who that coach is, but definitely it's got to be somebody who's going to be offense. And it's going to be somebody who's going to have a profound impact on him. I was thinking that whoever the head coach is there, if they have a relationship with Mike McDaniel, hire him as the offensive coordinator after he gets fired in Miami and let him work with Cam Ward. And let's see if he could do his magic with Ward like he did with Tua.
Whatever they do, they have to go all in because you have so much invested in this kid. And someone needs to sit him down and tell him to chill out a little bit on the forward-facing comments. Just cool it a little bit. But it's a messy situation. GMs, team president, coaches, all the firings. You need a level of stability there. I'll ask you a little bit later. I got something on the Giants for you. Reports they're big game hunting in the trade market. Maybe we'll get to that a little later. We've got the picks coming up. And I've got a pick of the week that is a Halloween special. Beyond scary. We're going to get to it. We had a really nice week last week. I think we're going to have another good one this week. And the plays of the week continue. All of that and more next. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Oh, we've got a challenging card ahead and a play of the week that is more fitting for Halloween. Let's get to the picks.
Picks of the week.
Ah, we're off to a good start. That's 2 weeks in a row I hit the imaging. All right, Rams lay in 3 as they travel to Duval to take on the Jags.
No, I thought this game was in London.
Oh, are we again with the pip pip yes. Cheerio? Here we go. My bad, people. I thought we were keeping everybody on the continent. Okay, we're in London.
We never Hello. Keep anybody on the continent. Come on, man. I mean, you know, these games, I actually like these games, Mike. You know why? Because I love Sunday morning football. That's why.
Oh, good for you. Hey, most of these games, they don't qualify as football. But go ahead.
All right, this game's going to be played in Wembley, and I'm going with the Rams. I'm going to lay the points. I'm taking the Rams. I still think the Rams are a playoff team. I know that they don't have Puka Nacua, but they still have Devontae Adams, and they still have Matthew Stafford, and they still have Sean McVay. I love the coach-quarterback combination. They'll find a way to win. Their defense will be running roughshod over this Jaguar team. That couldn't get out of its own way last week against the Seattle Seahawks. So I think the Rams lay the hammer down in London.
The fishing vest goes global. Give me the Jags. Give me Liam Cohen. I'll take the 3. You ready for this? Chiefs laying 12.5 against the Raiders.
It's really amazing. I'm going to take the Chiefs here, and I'll lay the 12.5. You know, by the way, last week, Geno and the boys, they just got by. In a game in which it was just an awful game to watch. It was a 20-10 game. Wasn't great. I don't think Geno played all that good. This defense is for real. The Chiefs are for real. I know they get Rashee Rice back. I'm not celebrating Rashee Rice. I'll never celebrate that guy. But from a football perspective and what it does to the Chiefs offense that has scored 30 points in a row two times in a week for the first time in like 4 years, I will take the Chiefs here and lay the points.
It's one thing when we say a guy's playing poorly, but it's another if we offer some context. Here's how bad Geno Smith has been. His QBR this year is the lowest since his rookie year, and he was god-awful as a rookie. He's unplayable. Another turnover, it's really quite something. Give me the Chiefs. I don't have a choice. Raiders are radioactive. Browns laying 2.5 in what I think is going to be the Mike McDaniel Professional Memorial Bowl.
Wow, you know what I love about this? And I can't believe you didn't bring this up to me.
What?
This is two lefty starting quarterbacks, and it'll be the first lefty starting quarterback matchup in 19 years. The last time two lefty quarterbacks played, Mike Vick and Chris Sims back in 2006.
My God. All right, I thought you were going to tell me the game was in Tanzania or something. All right, no, I did not pick up on the lefties.
Assuming everybody stays healthy in Week 8, we'll have Michael Penix Jr. versus Tua Tagovailoa, another lefty matchup. So I will have a keen eye on this. Dylan Gabriel looks like he's in over his head. There's no question about it. I do like what Kevin Stefanski's doing with this kid.
Yes.
You throw him out there, throw the ball, just keep throwing it, get used to it, get hit. And, you know, he's not trying to protect him at all. I don't necessarily know we're going to see Shedeur Sanders at any point. I think they do really like Dylan Gabriel. And this is a chance for, I think, the Cleveland Browns to go in here and take out the Dolphins, and that's why they're favored. And I will take the Browns over the Dolphins here.
Yeah, Dolphins are near the bottom of the league in every pass rush metric and sacks, and they also don't stop the run really well. Browns will have run support, which they didn't have last week against Steelers. Gabriel will be an easier task. I'm going to take the Browns. Bears, the resurgent Bears, laying 4.5 as they welcome the Saints.
You know what I love? They win 3 games in a row, and now all of a sudden they got attitude. They're going after Troy Aikman. Coaches getting out there, you know, kind of mixing it up, getting a little bit gritty the way the Bears should be. Caleb Williams is out on social media trolling people. I mean, what the hell has gotten into the Bears, man? It's great. I love it. I love every minute of it. And I will say this, silver lining spot for the Saints. You know, Kellen Moore is doing a lot of good things with Spencer Rattler, and his team plays hard for him. And I don't want to take anything away from that. And I know that sounds, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but in the NFL, part of this being a head coach is getting the team to play for you and have a chance to win every week. I think that's who the Saints are under Kellen Moore. However, in this game, I am going to take the Bears and lay the points.
Okay, Scones, are you with Boom here? Play it a week?
Absolutely. They're the hottest team in the league aside from your Carolina Panthers.
Don't put my they're America's Panthers. I'll ride with you guys. Give me the Bears. Eagles laying 1.5 at Minnesota.
Man, you talk about a mess. I don't know if it's going to be Carson Wentz going against his old team or if it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. And Kevin O'Connell this week has been very coy about who's playing. So that leads me to believe that J.J. McCarthy most likely is going to play in this game. But I don't know that as we do this radio show. So I still think at home the Vikings are going to be a tough nut for the Eagles to crack, especially their offense. The way their offense has been playing, it's been brutal. And now they've had 10 days sitting around listening to everybody just absolutely eviscerate them for losing to the Giants on Thursday Night Football. So I would expect a much better performance from them. They just don't put up a lot of points. So I'll take the home team here at the Vikings.
Yeah, they're losing. This is the play of the week. Give me the Vikes. Eagles cannot run the football. They can talk about we need more play action. I heard that comment. Yeah, good luck. There's a reason you're only running play action 19% of the time. You can't run the ball. Play action's only as effective as the running game that complements it. The offensive line is not good. They miss Mekhi Becton, and you just hate to see it, Eagle fan. Give me the Vikings. America's Panthers laying 1.5 at what used to be the New York Jets.
Hey, great for Dave Canales, right, Mike? I mean, really.
I'm happy for him.
I am. I mean, he's a good coach, and, you know, everybody was talking about him this year, much like they were probably talking about Dan Campbell in year two when he was with the Lions. Maybe he's turned around the Panthers. Couple things here. They can run the ball, man. They can run it right down your throat, and if the Jet defense isn't ready, guess what? Rico is going to go off for his third week in a row. So I do like the Panthers here. If the Jet offense gets off to a really bad start, and I've been here, I've walked a mile in this man's shoes, they're going to be booing their asses off, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on Justin Fields. And I think that's what's going to happen here. So I'll take the Panthers, and I'll lay the points.
Only concern for me, Bryce Young career, 1-15 on the road. Whoa, boy. We're taking the Panthers favored. This is graduation, though. You got to win a game like this. You want to be taken remotely seriously. Give me the Panthers. Patriots lay in 7 as they travel to the Titans.
So Mike McCoy takes over as the interim coach. I know Mike, really good coach, really solid coach. I think he'll simplify things for Cam Ward. I really do. I think he's going to try to run the ball. I think they're going to do a lot of like play action passes, a lot of bootlegs, a lot of 7-man protections. Mike Vrabel wants this game in the worst way. This is going to be a homecoming for him. I think Drake May, as you said earlier, has arrived. He has played great, and they played really good last week in New Orleans. And I'd love that to see, especially coming off of that big win against Buffalo, you say, all right, maybe letdown spot. No, no, no. There was no letdown spot, and there won't be a letdown spot here either. I like the Patriots, and I'll lay the 7 points.
Yeah, you said it all. And I think if they get a chance to rub it in a little bit, they will. The Titans have to show that they're even a live product. Give me the Patriots. Chargers laying 1.5 to the Colts. You know what to do.
Yeah, you know, the Colts are at the Chargers. If this game were in Indianapolis, I would take Indianapolis 100% of the time. But since it's on the road and since the Chargers got back into the win column last week and it looked like, you know, Jim Harbaugh made some adjustments with his offense, all the injuries that they're dealing with, I think this is a tough spot for Daniel Jones, so I will take the Chargers here.
Yeah, wrong team's favored. Spread makes no sense. You roll with it. I'll take the Bolts. And look, the Colts, we got a little bit comfortable with the Colts just really bombing people. And then, look, they got screwed against the Rams. They didn't play well last week. Now you got to fly across the country. I'll take the Chargers. I don't feel great about it, but I'll take Chargers. Broncos laying 7.5. They host the New York Giants.
So the Broncos don't score a lot of points. They're coming back from London. This is a long flight. That's a lot in a short period of time. Giants coming off of a bye. They do have the energy of one Jackson Dart. Interesting listening to Jackson Dart this week talk about, you know, what he learned that week that they went to New Orleans and lost the game in the turnovers. I think this game is going to be really close. I think it's going to be low scoring. I'm going to take the Giants and the points.
I wanted to take the Broncos. You may have just talked me into something. Scones, beat a tiebreaker. Giants?
Yeah, you know what? I agree with how sloppy the game's going to be. I think it will be low scoring. So you always, yeah, and this is your words, not mine. When you think it's going to be a low scoring game, you always go with the dogs. So yes, yeah. The Giants.
All right. I have nightmares about this Bronco pass rush against the Giants offensive line, but to hell with it. Go Giants.
That's not Russell Wilson sitting back there. This is Jackson Dart running all
Very
over the
fair.
Place.
Packers laying 6.5 at those loser Cardinals.
I'll tell you what a nightmare the Cardinals have turned into. I mean, I don't know what Jonathan Gannon's doing out there. I really don't. I mean, some of his press conferences are getting more and more bizarre as we go on into the season. And I think it's really frustrating that Kyler Murray gets lost and Jacoby Brissett and comes out and plays his ass off. I'm not sure who's playing for the Cardinals at this moment as we sit here and talk. I still think the Packers got to have their signature game, and this has got to be the spot where I think it happens. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to lay the 6.5.
I'm telling you, we're going to be sweating this one. Packers are going to be up by 13 late, and they're going to spit the bit and screw us. Their second half defense is atrocious, Boomer. I'm waiting for that text on Sunday afternoon. Give me the Pack. I mean, again, I would never do that in real life, but here we go. Commanders laying 2.5 at the Cowboys. You know what to do.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to take the home team here, the Cowboys,
yes.
Man. And the reason I'm taking the Cowboys is because I feel bad for Dak Prescott. I mean, he's got the whole entire franchise on his shoulders. He's playing his ass off. They can move the ball up and down the field against anybody. Hey, look, Jerry is putting the pressure on everybody, especially after last week's loss. So I think the Cowboys come back here. I think they play well at home, division game. And I think Dak has a huge game against this defense of the Washington Commanders.
And you know what it is for me, too? It's a play against the Commanders. As much as it is, you know, a belief in the Cowboys home on a bounce back, I don't like anything I see from the Commanders. I don't. And I was down on them to start the year. They've shown me no reason to really feel better about them. I mean, Boomer, I know it's revisionist history, so I apologize. If the Giants had a quarterback, like if they had Jackson Dart week one, they lose to the Giants. Like that's how bad it was. So, yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys. I just don't believe in the Commanders. The NFC East is a disaster when you really look at it.
It's open. It's open for business. If somehow the Giants can win in Denver this week, man, this whole thing could be flipped.
Okay, now here we are. Niners. Wait, Niners laying 2.5 to Atlanta? That doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right. And the thing about it is that the Falcons, listen to this. The Falcons beat three 12-win teams from last year. They beat Minnesota, Washington, and Buffalo. And those are real wins. Those are against really good quarterbacks, really good coaches, really good teams that have high expectations. And quite frankly, I think because of the loss of Fred Warner, no Nick Bosa, I got to believe that Michael Penix and, you know, and our favorite running back in the league, Bijan Robinson, can now do exactly what they did to Buffalo. They should be able to run the ball. They should be able to move the ball up and down the field against the 49ers. I do believe that Brock Purdy may have a shot playing this game, but that doesn't matter. Too many injuries for the 49ers, and the Falcons are riding the wave right now.
I just can't figure out why the hell are the Niners favored. I mean, I understand they're the home team, but Boomer, you said it. Fred Warner's the heart and soul of that team. You're down him. You lost Bosa. Every wide receiver is hurt or playing hurt. I'm with you. You know what I like with Atlanta, too? The defense is finally improving. I loved what I saw against Buffalo. And some of the blitz packages, making Josh Allen uncomfortable. And you know what was really interesting, too? Maintaining your rush lanes. They were able to push that pocket from an interior level, and Josh really had nowhere to go. I hate betting this team on the road. Give me Atlanta. I do, Boomer. I can't trust them. I like
well,
this.
Maybe
field.
Things are starting to change. This Bijan Robinson is a stud, man. He is.
He's a superstar.
He's as good as advertised when he came out of college. And everybody said he was going to be great, and he's turned out to be great.
Last 2 weeks for Drake London, 300 yards receiving. They're finally getting that connection. He's living up to where he was drafted. I'll go with Atlanta. God, that one's going to hurt. Seahawks laying 3 against the Texans.
You know what? I love the Seahawks. Even though the Texans have been playing a little bit better, I still don't trust their offensive line, and I trust the defense and Sam Darnold of the Seahawks, the way that they're playing right now. Huge win last week at Jacksonville. I think that they are a special team. I really do. And I think that they're going to be a playoff team. I don't know if they'll win the West, but I think it's going to come down to them and most likely the Rams because of all the injuries the 49ers have. So if they're going to go as far as I think they're going to go, I think this is a game that they win and they cover.
Sometimes people, he just says it all. I'll take Seattle. It's just that simple. It's like you had my notes. I'll take Seattle. All right, we got to go league-wide. A lot of off-field issues. We're going to cover it next. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained. One who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice. An individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team. The new fragrance by Miu Miu. Defined by you.
The holidays have arrived at the Home Depot, and we're here to help bring the excitement with decor for every part of your home. Check out our wide assortment of easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees so you can spend less time setting up and more time celebrating. And bring your holiday spirit outdoors with unique decor like one of our Santa inflatables. Whatever your style, find the right pieces at the right prices this holiday season at the Home Depot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new energy multiplier sugar-free. unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes. So you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new energy multiplier sugar-free hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, we got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to jump right in. Game of the week. The Detroit Lions laying 5.5 on Monday Night Football. They welcome in the official quarterback of this show, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. Boomer, it's two MASH units meeting in Detroit. Injury report will be massive. What's your early lean here?
My early lean is the home team, the Detroit Lions. And the reason I say that is because, you know, in that building, the way that they run their offense, the multiplicity of that offense, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a redo of the Bucs at Seattle game where Baker Mayfield beat out Sam Darnold. But I think Jared Goff in that building with that offense and coming off of the loss against the Kansas City Chiefs and being annoyed by that loss, I think they bounce back this week, and I think they put forth one of their better offensive efforts, which tells me that they're going to score over 30 points.
Yeah, what people don't realize either, Dan Campbell doesn't lose back-to-back games. Doesn't happen. Go look. The other thing is these teams have familiarity. Lions beat them in the playoffs last year. The Bucks beat them. Lions had a weird game going 0-for-4 in the red zone. But the Bucks have an issue, and it's basically, you know, systemic at this point. They can't stop the Lions' run game. When push comes to shove, the Lions are able to line up and smash. And the Bucks just haven't been able to do it. I don't think they'll do it here. I love the fact the Lions are coming home off a loss. They're pissed, I can tell you. The team's not happy. There is an air of feeling like they got cheated a little bit. You had Aiden Hutchinson make a stupid play with a personal foul. You had Amon-Ra, who never drops a football, drop a fourth down pass, hit him right in the hands. I think this is a bounce-back spot here. And just a little sugar on top, the Bucs beat him last year. So it's everything wrapped in one. I don't like the Lions here. I love them here.
Yeah,
play of the week, Lions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game too. You know, right now the Bucs are the third best odds to Baker Mayfield has the third best odds to win MVP on FanDuel. He's +350. So, you know, he has a perfect passer rating over the last two games in the second half. This is his numbers. 22 of 25, 376 yards, 3 pass TDs, and 0 interceptions. Mm. That is big-time play. And, you know, we all know what he does in the fourth quarter, and that's why he is one of our favorite players on this program, simply because, you know, he's fearless. And I love the fact that he found a home in Tampa, much like I love the fact that Sam Darnold found a home in Seattle. I mean, just fits. Everything fits right. However, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Igbuka are all questionable going into this game. And
Bucky
they don't
Irving.
Have any of those guys. And how do they keep up?
No, and again, the Lions have injuries of their own. I mean, you got to watch for Taylor Decker, the left tackle. His backup, Giovanni Manu, both could be out again. Dan Skipper filled in admirably at left tackle. You're not going to have Brian Branch because he was an idiot, got in a brawl, and he's suspended. Kirby Joseph basically went to the blue tent in a wheelchair. And then he came out like Michael Flatley doing a dance. Going, what the hell they do in the blue tent here? Look, both teams are banged up, and that's how we have to approach it at when we tape this show. It, obviously, if one team gets great news, the other team, everything goes sideways on the injury report, it could alter your pick. But for our purposes here, Lions. All right, Scones, we had a lot of off-field you-know-what happened over the last week. Let's get into it. Players, coaches, bumping their gums. What do we got?
A ton of it. A ton of off-the-field crap this week. So I got to start in Miami with Tua. Tua made comments after the game, throwing players under the bus for being late to meetings, not showing up to meetings, displaying his frustration. Are these comments warranted from a leader standpoint, or is he just being a clown?
It's a clown move for sure. Now, he came back and apologized during the week, so I do appreciate his apology. It felt really genuine to me. And by the way, Mike McDaniel, after the game, was kind of ambushed by all of this because Tua gave his point of view before Mike McDaniel did. And then all of a sudden, the media was asking Mike McDaniel about these late meetings and all this other stuff. And it really wasn't about a meeting Mike was running. It was more about the team-oriented meetings, the team player-only meetings. So Tua, he definitely threw his team under the bus. You know, leaders don't do that. But leaders do come back and apologize, and they do it in a genuine fashion. I don't think it's going to help. I got to believe that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, has had enough of this drama diva show, And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if they lose this game against the Browns, something may massive could happen down there.
Yeah, everything Boomer just said. But let me ask this question, Boomer, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer it. Is Tua respected in that locker room?
You know, first of all, he's a great guy. I mean, everybody,
I know
where he is, everybody loves the guy. Like, he doesn't drink. He doesn't, like, he's not a partier. He does care about playing football. I think this has just kind of gotten away from him a little bit. And
okay,
maybe they wanted him to be more vocal. You never know what they've told him in the offseason. Look, you need to be more vocal. You need to be more out there. And he's doing something that maybe he's a little bit uncomfortable doing. That's hence why you have some of these missteps. That could be the case.
Yeah, go Browns. Just end this charade in Miami, please. Go ahead,
Scott. Let's stay in the division. Breece Hall, he puts out on X, free 20 in his last year of his contract. Has Breece Hall had it with the Jets, and is he going about it the right way?
This is the way they go about it now. This, and it's exactly what you said it is. He wants out of the Jets. You know, this is his free agent walk year. The Jets would be smart if they got a good, really good deal to get him. I think I would trade him, and I don't care if I have to trade him in the division. Like, let's say New England wants a running back, and they're willing to give up a second-round draft choice to go get Breece Hall because he's in your division. They would have to pay more in order to get him. Then I'm trading him to New England. I don't really care. They got to get rid of some of these losing players that have been around here and been on social media and doing all this crap, and this is exactly what Breece is trying to do. So I don't truly respect it, but I understand – the position that he is in and the Jets are in.
Yeah, I hate it, but I'm also old, so I understand I'll be made fun of. This is just the way it is, so I'm going to put that to the side and accept that players whining on social media is normal. I'm with Boomer. Like, I'll give you another team. If I'm Kansas City, I'm calling up the Jets. I'm offering a good draft capital. Kansas City is an elusive running back away from being really scary. Breece Hall fits. I think Alvin Kamara fits. I know that's not the question Scones asked, though. I don't like the way he's approaching it, but it is the Jets, so I'm going to give him a free pass.
Keep an eye on the Pittsburgh Steelers as well.
Garrett Wilson makes comments after the game against Denver saying he didn't know what the plan was, and when he found out, he was disappointed. These comments are warranted. Should they have been made publicly, and is it a bad move for Garrett?
It's a bad move for Aaron Glenn. It's a bad move for Tanner Engstrom, and it just adds fuel to the media fire, the fan fire, and wanting to know what the hell was happening at the end of the first half. And also now you can extrapolate the end of the second half as well and add this to the mix. So Garrett Wilson, like many other players, is frustrated on a losing team. I was not surprised by the comments. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't wait to get into the locker room.
Yeah.
To go after the head coach, or at least say something to the head coach the way it looked.
I'm sensing a trend here with the Jets. This is not going well. I think you keep this stuff private. It doesn't benefit you to do that publicly. You're critiquing the game plan. You can Garrett Wilson can absolutely do that in private. What the hell is the win doing that publicly? Or you think the team is going to rush to you and go, oh, you're right, Garrett. We didn't realize. Thank you for telling us. To me, everything right now, it's slipping away from Aaron Glenn. And I'm with Boomer. I think if you speak up, you should get shipped out. It's his only way out of this deal.
And the cherry on top, Aaron Glenn.
Oh, not again. Oh, not again.
Snaps at reporters after being asked about a QB change. Says, why would you ask that? Has Glenn finally lost his mind, Mike, at this point? You know him better than we do.
Yeah, this is not the Aaron Glenn. This is nuts. Why would you ask that? Gee, I don't know. Because your quarterback played worse than the starter for Army. I mean, come on. Negative 10 yards passing? Of course you asked the question. Insanity. Horrible. Look, I'm going to let Boomer speak on this too. I think New York can get to people. I think New York is a lot like Philly in that regard. And it can get to you. It's not six microphones. It's 60. And you feel the squeeze.
Well, just remember who his mentor is, and that's Bill Parcells. And Bill Parcells is mentoring him and telling him how to carry himself. And I think one of those things is about being aggressive, being positive, and being very confident. So one thing I will say is that Aaron does come off confidently, but he made a real big mistake in London. He should have benched Justin Fields after the first series in the second half. And all he had to do is, and I would advise him to do it this way, you know, Justin, you can sit down. Tyrod Taylor's going to go in. If we win, You laud Tyrod Taylor. You say what a great teammate he is. This is why we have him here, just in case we need him. And guess what? Justin Fields is starting for me next week. He's our starting quarterback. We still believe in him. Instead of going through what we've went through all week here with the Jets, that would have been the thing to do in London. And unfortunately, the head coach is learning on the job as well. Much like a rookie quarterback or a rookie right tackle, Aaron Glenn is now in the school of hard knocks when it comes to coaching, especially here in New York.
Yeah, and you've seen it with Daboll. A lot of missteps for him. Another guy who had to learn on the job. New York is not a place for training wheels, man. I'm worried, officially. I can like Aaron Glenn. I can think he has all the qualities to be a very good coach. It doesn't mean it's going to work. We've seen a lot of guys fail their first go-around. Do I need to name them? It's slipping away. That was no bueno.
Cam Ward on the firing of Brian Callahan. I'm not playing how I want to play right now, Ward said. So once I play how I want to play, the league will be effed. Is this warranted based on his confidence, or is he being a clown as a rookie?
Oh, God. That's clown move, man. I can appreciate the confidence, and I happen to like Cam Ward. You can't say that. You graded yourself as an F. You can't say that the league will then be, when you figure it out, you're terrible right now. Humble up.
Yeah, he just doesn't know what he doesn't know. You know, he's going through the hard knocks of being a rookie quarterback, and we just talked about that regards to Aaron Glenn being a head coach. I know he's very vocal. I know he's frustrated. I think Mike McCoy is going to be good for him. I think they're going to simplify things for him in the offense. He'll try to run the ball a little bit more, not put him in these, you know, crazy situations where defenses can take advantage of his inexperience. So he's a frustrated rookie quarterback. We've all been there. We all know what it's like. At least I know what it's like. Maybe you guys don't. But I think he's going to be a good player if they get the right coach around him. And by the way, Mike McCoy is auditioning to become the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. So it's in his best interest to get the most out of his young quarterback at this present time.
Myles Garrett, when asked after the his thoughts on the Steelers getting to the QB on a regular basis, his response was, must be nice. This is after he insinuates that his offense isn't scoring. Has the former first overall pick had it in Cleveland?
Well, he signed a new contract. You know, this time last year, I think he had it enough in Cleveland, and then they paid him off. It's kind of like what the Jets did with Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. They paid him off. They said, here's a lot of money. Now just go out there and play football and be a leader of the football team. Unfortunately, emotions get the best of you. And when you are losing and you continue to lose, you know, people are going to ask you loaded questions. And the people that are asking those questions know that if you answer that question, that is going to be a headline. So they duped Myles Garrett into asking this or answering this question. And unfortunately, it reflects poorly on him and the Browns and Kevin Stefanski.
You know what? You took the money. I can't be sympathetic to you. I actually respected his stance that he wanted out of Cleveland. He was going to play hardball. And then all of a sudden they went, well, all right, well, will this buy our love? What do you want me to do? I can't sympathize with you. Myles, you threw away any chance of winning. So you'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you will have won Stugatz. You made that decision. I can't help you, buddy.
Lastly, real quick, Jonathan Gannon in a Stolko press conference replies to how early in his career he had to deal with injuries and guys being out. In a smug statement says, yeah, in 2007, QB went to jail and then leaves. As he had it in Arizona.
Well, it feels that way. I'll be really quick. It feels that way. I mean, the wheels have come off. Kyler Murray's hurt. This was a team that was supposed to be better than they are right now. And some of his latest press conferences lead me to believe that the Bidwell family have had enough.
What he said. There's nothing to add. It's over. Put the for sale sign out. All right. We will be back next week to do it all over again. People, this is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
And Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.